Welcome back. Michael Roy and Thomas here. It's For Love of Food at SaverLife.com. And it is squash soup season. Last night, or 2 nights ago, made some butternut squash soup. And it was pretty delicious. I'm not a fantastic cook by any stretch of the imagination. But sometimes I fall into a good idea. So I cooked this huge butternut squash that I got from Gentle's Market, which I think today is their final day of the season if you want to get over and stock up on some winter squash and other things. It's been a great year. I posted on Instagram for Rochester Food Net. Gentle's was just such an amazing source of sweet corn. This summer, I was there quite often, and just really appreciate all the great produce that they had, the fruits and vegetables, as well as that sweet corn. So try to get to your local farmers markets and farm markets and farmers markets and Rochester Public Market and say thank you, partly just by stocking up on things. And you know, and the winter squash in particular is going to hold really well for you, and you'll be able to make some great soup. So I had this really large butternut squash. It was huge, and cooked the whole thing, you know, pureed it, tasted wonderful. But it was a little watery, and it was a nice color, but it wasn't as rich a color. And I had a couple of yams that I had cooked at the same time because I had the oven on, and I figured, I'll cook these. We'll have these ready for another meal. And then I figured, well, if I want to make it, darker, these yams are a darker orange, and they also have kind of a creamier texture. So I added a little bit and tasted it and liked the way it was going. So I added more, and then I added more. And then I added some cayenne and also made some brown butter with sage to add to it. And then I added a little more cayenne because it wasn't very spicy. I could barely taste the cayenne. And, of course, you can see where this is going. I ended up with a little too much cayenne. And so then my goal was to moderate the cayenne, so I added more sweet potato. And in the end, I added two large yams, basically, to this one large butternut squash. And the end result was really delicious. I didn't put any cream in. I had just a little bit of whole milk that I added because I didn't have any cream. But it was really these two yams, that really improved the texture. The flavor was more complex. The color was brighter orange, really a striking orange. So let me know if you run into some interesting ideas for soups like butternut squash soup. Send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. So I don't have a recipe for this. It was completely made up. And usually that goes okay. This turned out much better than usual with my making up recipes, which doesn't work with baking. As I've said before, baking, you need to be exact in what you're doing and following a recipe. But soups and stews and many of these other things, you can kind of wing them and end up with something really, really delicious. I got the cayenne from Stewart Spices. They have a couple of different heat levels for cayenne. I think there's like 40,000 and 90,000. Those are probably the Scoville ratings of those cayenne peppers. So there's a range within cayenne of spice, and I like the fact Stewart sells several different options. So, you know, if you're looking for some moderate but decent heat, you know, maybe the 40,000, and careful about how much you put in. If you really want to ramp it up, that 90,000 might be just perfect. And I saw a photo that the Karma Sauce posted of their final pepper harvest. And it's unusual in the world of hot sauces that the producer grows the peppers. That is highly unusual. They're mainly buying the mash, and you can buy habanero or, you know, scorpion or white ghost pepper mash, and then incorporate it into your hot sauce, and you know that makes fabulous hot sauce. There's no specific magic about growing your own necessarily, but like anything else, that's one of the reasons a lot of wineries grow their own grapes. It gives you control over the end product, the ripeness of it. Maybe you do some sorting of the habaneros before you put them in and grind them up and, you know, get them ready for hot sauce. But there is a potential to make a difference. And I think the results that Karma Sauce has had at some of the major competitions for hot sauces, they've won a ton of awards. Maybe an indication that more hot sauce producers should grow their own peppers. So they posted a photo of their final pepper harvest before the deep freeze, and peppers are so colorful. And I imagine today, Palmiter's Garden Nursery probably has also a bumper crop. I haven't checked with them to see whether they survive some early frosts in Avon, where they're located. They usually will cover the peppers, and if it's a minor frost, the peppers will survive. If not, then peppers are not very tough when it comes to frosts and freezes. So they may have some nice peppers this morning, but I think you'll find quite a few peppers and tomatoes and things that have been harvested before the shot of cold air. So head over to the public market, check things out. I was there on Thursday and stepped in to get a Scott's breakfast sandwich, which the Scott's stand is now different people. It's Railroad Street Cafe or something like that. It's in between Cherries and Empanada Stop. But the people from Scott's are still doing some cooking and still doing breakfast sandwiches. They're indoors now at the R&R ice cream stand, which is just in, well, it's fairly close to their former location within that new winter shed. So got a breakfast sandwich there, and then I went over to Flower City Bread, and my recommendation when you go into Flower City Bread, or really almost any baker, is to ask them what is still warm from the oven. This time, the almond croissants had come out fairly recently. The guy said, you know, they're probably not still warm, but they were still kind of ultimately fresh, and the pastry on a croissant is at its best when it comes out of the oven, and maybe cools off enough that you can actually eat it. But it's kind of all downhill from there for croissants and for a lot of other pastries. They're still good, they're still delicious, but they're from another world when they come right out of the oven. So ask about what's out of the oven. If it's a loaf of bread that just came out of the oven, I would get one of those and I would eat it, tear off pieces on the way home. these things are so much better straight out of the oven. And I've mentioned this before, but it was probably a year ago I got an almond croissant from Flower City Bread and started driving home eating it, which is not a great idea. They are a little messy. But I was eating it as I was driving down Union Street, and it was still warm from the oven. I hadn't realized that. And I turned around, and I think I got two more while they were still warm from the oven. But they're not, you know, Flower City Bread doesn't do massive croissants, which is kind of nice. I like the size of them, and they are they're my favorite in town right now. But when you take them right out of the oven, you could probably take a croissant that wasn't very good right out of the oven, and it'd be pretty decent. But when you take a really good one, and it's just out of the oven, it is something from another world. It was just amazing. And this, I almost went back and got more yesterday or Thursday when I was at the public market, because it wasn't still warm from the oven, but that almond croissant was still, like, almost warm. I mean, it was still just amazingly fresh. And I've got to get a hold of Keith at Flower City Bread and see if he will figure out some way to post on Instagram or on their website or Facebook or somewhere when they're going to take batches of croissants out. And he doesn't have to post all of them. That'd be great, but it doesn't have to post all of them. But maybe, you know, a couple each day. And I don't know how long they go in the oven for at Flower City Bread. It's probably different than the length of time it would cook on an oven in your home with those commercial ovens. But, you know, let's say they're in there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I don't have a clue how long they cook them. But you put out a post that, you know, at 11:20, there'll be a batch of chocolate croissants coming out of the oven. And I can't be the only one who would be over there at 11:23 to get a bunch of those chocolate croissants. And it actually could be a problem because I'm not sure I could resist almost every day going over to get a fresh out of the oven croissant from Flower City Bread. I mean, I would find all kinds of excuses to be out that way when they happen to come out of the oven. So maybe it's kind of a dangerous idea, but tempting to do that. So it's got to be pretty easy to do, and maybe they already do something like this. I just haven't. I don't follow them on Instagram. I got to check and see. But it makes such a world of difference. And I discovered this, just haven't thought about it a lot, quite a few years ago at Donuts Delight up on Empire Boulevard under the previous, the Malleys that owned it originally. And I just happened to be there when chocolate glazed donuts came out of the oven. And they were so good. I mean, it was like a special dessert. And it was outrageously good. Just an ordinary chocolate glazed donut. And they have, the Malleys had really good donuts at Donuts Delight. But this, again, elevated it to a whole other experience. Now, you can replicate this to a small degree by bringing donuts home and putting them in the microwave for like 15 seconds, a pretty short period of time. And you can do that with a pastry, like a chocolate croissant. Sometimes, if you put in the chocolate croissant in the toaster oven, the chocolate in the center won't really get melty at all just because of the layers of croissant. You end up burning the croissant before that gets melty. So you could try putting that chocolate croissant in the microwave for like 10 seconds, something like that, and then putting it in the toaster oven. And that might because microwaves heat from the center out, that might actually get you to the point of a somewhat melty or you know, a warm center to that croissant. But with the donuts, you know, like 15 seconds, somewhere in that range, it depends on your microwave and how big that donut is, but that can somewhat replicate that fresh out of the oven warmth. But it, you know, and Krispy Kreme has made a lot of money with warm donuts, and they're not great donuts. At least I'm not a huge fan of them. But when they're warm, they're pretty good. That is the key. So I'll let you know if there's a way to have this set up where a place like Flower City Bread or maybe Amazing Grains posts when they have things out of the oven. But that is my new question whenever I go into a bakery. What's fresh out of the oven? Herd Orchards posted a note and some great photos of their pumpkin pies. They just started baking pumpkin pie. They do amazing pies in general, but pumpkin is gorgeous and delicious. They're asking you to pre-order if you're interested in pumpkin pies, not just for Thanksgiving, but why wait till Thanksgiving to have a pumpkin pie? This last week, I found some eggnog from Pittsford Farms Dairy at Gentles Farm Market and had to take that home and open it right away just so I could post it to Instagram, but also because I was kind of craving eggnog. And there's something about, you know, this year of the coronavirus and the complete train wreck that is this current president. It seemed like it was okay to have eggnog before November. So I did, and it's awfully good eggnog. So pumpkin pie, don't wait till Thanksgiving. Do some testing on who has the best pumpkin pies, and I'd venture that Herd Orchards is going to be perhaps at the top of that list. I've tried a lot of pies. They have amazing crust and pies. And a friend of ours, brought us apple raspberry pie from Herd Orchards, which was such an awesome gesture, and really appreciated. Their apple raspberry is kind of a fascinating pie. I've had their apple pie many, many times. I've got a frozen one in the freezer, actually. I've had their raspberry pie many times. Both of those are excellent, but there's something about apple raspberry combination that takes the best of both of those. It gives some edge to the apple. It gives some roundness to the what can be a very intense raspberry pie. And the apple raspberry is just kind of miraculous. You need to try that. We're coming into pie season for most people. Fall and Thanksgiving is apple and pumpkin pie season. For me, pie season really is year-round. Herd Orchards will close for the winter. They're generally open through the holidays. And so you should get a couple frozen apple pies to get you through this winter when they're not open. You can make your own, and you should, but theirs are hard to rival. Any of the different pies that they make. So, again, pumpkin pies, I just started baking at Herd Orchards. Pre-order if you're interested in them. And you should pre-order with pretty much any of their pies because they don't have all of them every day that they're open. And the only one that generally that they have frozen are apple pies, although they might have some frozen cherry pies. But generally it's apple that they have available frozen. Otherwise, it's whatever they happen to be baking that day, and someone like me might go out there and buy a couple of them, and they'll be fewer when you arrive. So call ahead. to Herd Orchards. Maybe give them a day's notice, a day or two, if you're looking for a specific kind of pie. And I would give them a couple days' notice, especially if you want to get several of them. I often am out there, and I'll just get whatever pie they happen to have. But if you're looking for something specific, I would definitely order in advance. And this last week, I was out at the Apple Farm in Victor. One of my friends suggested I go out there to try their donuts, their cider donuts, which were very good. They've got some of their cider to do a tasting against a couple other ciders from other local farms. And just one more reminder, the grocery stores sell a lot of cider that maybe is pasteurized at high temperatures, but the local ciders, there's lots of them. Herd Orchards makes cider, Kirby's Farm Market, there's Schutz and the Apple Farm, and there's lots of it available from local farms, and it is so much better. All of them are so much better than what you get at the big grocery stores, the mass production cider. And occasionally over the last few years, I would go to an event that had cider from one of the big grocery stores, and I would taste it and think, this is why I don't buy cider at the big grocery stores, because it is not nearly as good as the cider from so many of these different farms. So let me know if you have a favorite. I'll probably go out and get some of the cider from there and try it. They vary quite a bit. Red Jacket Farms has a great cider. Theirs is available at Abundance Market. They're based in Geneva, and that's been one of my favorites for a few years. They do quite a few different ciders. You can get Honeycrisp cider. You can get, I don't know, three or four different kinds of cider, but just the regular apple cider is really delicious. So let me know if you have some favorites. It's Michael at SaverLife.com. And as I said last hour in the gardening show, get out and vote. It's crucial as perhaps it's never been before to get out and vote, and especially to vote in all of the races, not just the presidential race, but your town, your village, your city, your county. All those votes are crucial. I think it will come back to haunt the Republican Party that from the top of their party to the county, city, local races, Republicans have not stood up to Donald Trump and have just let him do whatever he wants to do, which, especially in terms of the coronavirus, has been a devastating decisions. And I hold the Republican Party responsible for that. And I hope that this election will be a chance for voters to hold the Republican Party accountable also for their failure to be a balance, a counterweight to Trump's poor decisions. This election is a chance to send the Republican Party a message at all levels that if they won't stand up to the leader of their party who's making really, really poor decisions and saying things that are beyond the pale, really, frankly. If they can't stand up and say that's wrong because they're afraid of him, then what use is the Republican Party? There really has very little use. So like Thomas Friedman said in a recent editorial, we need a strong conservative party. We as well as a strong liberal and Democratic Party. And right now, the Republican Party is maybe at its weakest point. It's just a cult of Trump. I mean, really. And I've been surprised, actually, that I can't think of a Republican at any level of government who has really stood up and said, gone against Trump. I mean, I guess the occasional, Mitt Romney or, a couple of them in Congress have voted against him. But very few have said anything. But there are a lot of Republican Party members who are not in government, and the Lincoln Project is a great example of that, who are working to defeat Donald Trump. So, but Republicans who are in office right now, or who are running for office right now as Republicans, have not generally said a thing against Donald Trump or against his policies with the coronavirus, which are may be viewed as criminal in the future, from my point of view. To ignore science, to ignore doctors, it has led to and will lead to many more tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of unnecessary deaths. History is going to look back on this and very, very, very poorly. So get out and vote in this election and make it your priority over the next couple of days to get that done and vote at all levels of government. We need to send the Republicans a message that this is so unacceptable. So again, if you haven't voted, vote early. Don't do it by mail. Drop your ballot off if you have an absentee ballot at the official election headquarters for your county, your town, your city, and get that vote in. Well, it counts more than ever this year, to say the least. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes this morning. Also tomorrow at 9 a.m., it's The Grapevine. Mike Oren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.